I want to try to be as brief as I possibly can. If you're from Living Waters Baptist Church, you know what that means. I want to thank Michael and Tanya for staying. They make it easier for me to preach. I got a lot to preach about whenever they stay. So. Thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Mike, Tanya. Would you say, do tell? Oh boy, where would I begin? 2 Chronicles 29. You know, whenever you're studying the book of 2 Chronicles, it's very interesting because you find great kings and terrible kings, and you find great kings followed by terrible kings followed by great kings. And it's amazing. And here we have a story in 2 Chronicles 29 about Hezekiah, whenever he assumed the throne of Judah and Jerusalem. He succeeded King Ahaz. And we find here in 2 Chronicles 29 verse 1, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah. I hope that's right. Is that right? Pretty close. Where I grew up going to church, whenever you'd get the names like that, we'd just say, and that person, or just something like that. And the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, had done. And Hezekiah did that which was right. The king before him was Ahaz. And his name was very close to Ahab, and they had a lot in common. Ahab was ungodly and rebelled against God and rejected the things of God, disobeyed the commandments of the Lord, disregarded the prophets of God, despised the prophets of God. And we find the same thing here with Ahaz, the king. Ahaz, I mentioned him earlier in the first message, but Ahaz, of course, went after false gods and would take and sacrifice their firstborn children to Molech, the false god. Let me say this, that's what's going on in America today, in these abortion clinics. And I think these abortion clinics are a grief to a holy God. Let me say that in Israel, and I believe it was the tribe of Benjamin, if I'm not mistaken, that there was a sin that was committed that they took a woman and they raped her. It was only one sin, and God said, I'm done with Benjamin. I want y'all to go and destroy him. Wonder how grieved God is with the United States of America. I wonder today, with all the sins that we've committed, now we've rejected the holy God of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, the God of our fathers. Ahaz, he rejected the things of God. There was kings before him that knew God. He had David as an example, and he rebelled against God. And the Israelites were led into captivity as slaves. He lost battles that he should have never lost against people that he should have easily defeated. He had people that were killed by the thousands within his cities from other armies because he disobeyed God. We find in 2 Chronicles 28, 24, the Bible says, and Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made him altars in every corner of Jerusalem, and in every city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. That's what he did. He destroyed the house of God, and he went after the gods of this world. We find in 2 Chronicles 29, 6 through 10, the state of the house of God. The Bible says, for our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of God was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, and ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters, our wives, are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. That was the state that Judah, Jerusalem, Israel was left in. And can I say, I talked about earlier about the glory of God being in our homes, the glory of God being in our churches, and the glory of God being in our communities. The glory is the presence of God. It's the presence of God. And ladies and gentlemen, we look upon our nation today, and you don't have to look very hard to find the judgment of God upon our nation. We have this beloved police officer here. The Bible tells us that we are to honor those that are in authority. To honor those that are in authority. What are they? They're ministers to execute wrath upon what? People that do evil. Evil. You know who hates police officers? Evil people do. I've got family members that hate police officers. I got family members that despise them. Why? Because they do drugs, they steal, they break into people's houses. Therefore, they despise them. They watched their dads being taken off by a police officer. They thought that that's the enemy. That's the enemy. They're ministers of God. They're to be respected and feared. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a nation that's under the judgment of God. And we found that the glory of God has departed off many churches in our nation. Our homes are under the judgment of God. Our churches, ladies and gentlemen, have quit and they've refused to preach the word of God all across this land. Why? Because we've raised up a generation of ministers that want their ears tickled. They want people to brag on them. They want the applause of men. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, if you preach the Bible, if you preach this book, you're going to be rejected by men. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world and he was despised and rejected of men. And if you preach this word, you're going to be rejected of men. You're not going to be popular. Ladies and gentlemen, we find that our nation is under the judgment of God, much like Israel was. Much like Israel was. And I could go on and on. We've talked about it all week this week. And I want to say this. If there's any one message that I want to preach to America, and we look at the black communities across this nation, if there's any one message that they need to hear, they don't need to hear about socialism. They need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's any message that this nation needs to hear, they need to hear that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was made sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If there's one message America needs to hear today, it's about the darling Son of God. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's all that we have to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. We find Paul and Jesus Christ. When you found Paul, I like how Samuel, and he went on a roll. You found him in the morning, he was talking about Jesus. And if you met him in the afternoon, he was talking about Jesus. And if you met him at night, he was talking about Jesus. And if you met him at midnight, he was talking about Jesus. And every time you heard Apostle Paul, he was talking about Jesus. And that's what we ought to be talking about. I like it. Jesus. He's the message that needs to be preached in America. He's the message. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, he's wonderful today. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come. Oh, we find Jesus as he went through the street riding upon an ass. The Bible said he was lowly upon the ass and the foal of an ass. He went into the street and they laid palm leaves at him. He's not going to be riding a jackass the next time he comes in. The Bible said that he's going to be riding a white horse. And when he marches through Jerusalem, the Bible says that his name will be called Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This world cries, peace, peace, and there is no peace. But when Jesus steps out and he comes down riding that white horse, there will be peace. Because he is peace. Amen. He is peace. They say, we want peace, but we don't want Jesus. He is peace. We see the judgment of God upon our nation because the preachers, they prophesy evil. They cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Somebody asked me not too long ago, how does God let some of these
televangelists and certain people live. I said, God lets them live because God might have raised them up to be a judgment of God upon people to give them what they want. That's what they are. They're the judgment of God. And people buy the milk, that's what they want, and God gives them what they want. God gives them a prosperity message because they want money. They want cars and they want houses. I thank God for men that are willing to burn up the roads, that are willing to be poor for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not against people having money or preachers having money. I'm not against any of that. I believe that a preacher ought to be a man that's willing to tell you the truth. I believe that. They ought to be willing to tell you the truth. And that ought to be what you want. Hezekiah, as a result of being under the judgment of God, he decided that he was going to open up again the house of the Lord. He was going to open up the house of the Lord. And the Bible said, as I just read, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Hezekiah had a terrible example in Ahaz. He had a terrible example. I've heard all kinds of people say, well, they grew up in a preacher's home. I saw this and I saw that. Well, you know what? I could come up with some things if I had an evil eye. Come on. If I had an evil eye and I wanted to find evil in my dad and I wanted to live in sin and I wanted to live like the world, I could find a lot. I could. I've seen people in my church be strung out on pills and their wives. I remember one time they told all of us children to go sit outside the church. And we went and sat outside the church by a row of pine trees. And they all came outside. There was fussing and arguing. And that man's wife went and reached inside of his pocket, pulled his pocket out, and pills flew everywhere. He was trying to preach and take over the service. I've seen that in church. That isn't going to affect me when I stand before God. That isn't gonna have any bearing on me when I stand before God. I'm not going to give an account for what my daddy and my mommy did. I'm not going. I've seen some pretty awful things in a preacher's house. My dad's tried to live like a holy man. I've seen some pretty awful things in a preacher's house. I'm not going to give an account for mom, dad, brother. I'm not going to do it. Neither are you. Neither are you. Hezekiah didn't have a good example. But it is something. He did have people that he could look to. But it wasn't the people that was in authority before him. Ahaz was an evil man. An ungodly man. He said, I'm going to build the house of the Lord. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He got the house of the Lord open again. And this is what he did. He commanded the Levites to sanctify themselves and the house of God. Sanctify themselves and the house of God. I'll read it in 2 Chronicles 29, verse 4 and 5. And he brought the priests and the Levites and gathered them together unto the east street. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Carry the filthiness out of the holy place. Not only did he command them to sanctify themselves, he commanded them to clean the house of God out. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at sanctification, the priest was supposed to be sanctified. He was supposed to be set apart, meet for the master's use. Sanctified. Well, that means whenever the priest was a priest, he lived his life in the temple, in the tabernacle, in the house of God. That's what he did. His life was the house of God. You do yourself well to make your life Jesus Christ and the house of God. Preachers talk about people coming to their house on Sunday, staying at their house. I very rarely have people that want to come to my house. If you don't have cable television, people generally don't like to be there, it seems like. But anyways, I've never had anybody bother me about being out of the house of God on Sunday because a long time ago, I was just determined I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. There's been times when I've been tired and I thought to myself, maybe I could just call my dad or I could call whoever and, you know, just try to miss out. And I'd say, you know what, I'm going to go anyways. Those have been some of the richest services I've ever been in my life. Just being honest. Some of the richest services. I'm talking about being sanctified. Coming to the house of God. They lived their lives around the house of God and to minister to the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, not only were the priests sanctified, serving the Lord, they were not numbered to go to war. They didn't entangle themselves in the world. They had a purpose for living. And if you're going to be set apart, the Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. If you're going to be separated from this world, you ought to be separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to be separated from the things of this world, separated unto Him. I know there's a lot of parents that always constantly telling their children, no, you can't do this, you can't do that. They never give them anything to do. Our Father isn't like that. Amen. There's a lot you can do. Let me say this. Hezekiah was 25 years old. And if a young man, I don't care who, Josh, if God called you to preach, I would listen to you. I remember talking to an old man a few years ago right before he died. He was talking about Harold Seitler. Harold Seitler would sit and listen to the young men. He said, most. You know, bigger time preachers don't sit and listen to these young guys. He said, if a young man's called a God, I reckon he can tell me something that I need to hear just as well as an old man. Amen. That's what he said. Ladies and gentlemen, some of these young people can serve God. Some of you young people can serve God. Hezekiah was 25 years old. There was kings younger than him. Not only that, they received no earthly inheritance. I'm talking about being set apart, sanctified, meet for the master's use. They receive no earthly inheritance. Where is your treasure today? Come on. Bible said that lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where's your heart today? Where your heart is, that's where your treasures will be. Is it in heaven or is it upon this earth? Ladies and gentlemen, they didn't have an earthly inheritance. Where is your treasure today? Their inheritance was God. Not only are they sanctified, that the priest, they cleaned the house of God. That's the point I wanted to get to. We find 2 Chronicles 29:16-19. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahab in his reign did cast away in his transgression, Ahaz, he cast them away in his transgression, have we prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Let me say again, Ahaz got rid of the things of God because he saw all the kingdoms of the earth that had destroyed them and taken them over. And he said, I'm going to go after their gods because they're prospering. Their God's helping them. That's what he said. You know, Ahaz never one time served God. I know people, they sit and they blame God for all their problems. Well, you wasn't serving God. God made your life so miserable.
That's right. I remember there was this young lady. I mean, it's a sad story. Her mom was a drug addict. My grandma knows who I'm talking about. You know, Kirk's daughter.
Pitiful story. Her mom passed away. She was a drug addict and a drunkard, and that's why she died. And she just blamed God. It wasn't God that killed your mother. It was sin that killed your mother. It was sin that did it. Ladies and gentlemen, God forbid that any preacher get up and he refuse to preach against sin, refuse to preach against dope, refuse to preach against drink, refuse to preach against fornication. It is the destruction of people's lives. Sin is the destruction of people's lives. Sin is selfishness today, my friend. Selfishness.
You look at everything that takes place. I've seen mamas look at their husbands, look at daddies, and say, if you don't clean up, well, you're not going to get to see your kids no more. They don't clean up.
Right. Why? Because sin is selfish. Sin is selfish. Right. I've seen sin destroy people's lives. Not only their own lives, but the lives of people. We're our own worst enemy, friend.
My dad's pastor used to say, draw a circle 16 inches around and step foot in it. That's where your biggest problems come from.
That's right. That's right.
Half the things that are said and done to us ain't as bad as what we've made them a lot of times. I'll say this. There's a lot of folks that act like they're really being persecuted. Half the things people are going through ain't because they serve Jesus Christ. It's because they act a fool.
Come on.
It's because they act a fool. I know people that claim to be Christians, they've acted a fool. They brought a reproach on Christ, and people don't want anything to do with their God. And they act like they're being persecuted. No, it's because you live like a fool. That's why. They clean the house of God. They clean the house of God. We find in the Bible talks about leaven. Get rid of the leaven of the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Second Chronicles, I was reading it, 16 through 19. The Bible says, and the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord and to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day, on the first month, to sanctify. On the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. And then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, we have cleansed all the house of the Lord and the altar of the burnt offerings and all the vessels thereof and all the showbread table and all the vessels thereof. Ladies and gentlemen, Ahaz put a bunch of false gods in the temple. He put a bunch of false gods in the temple. Molech and Baal. And he set up groves in the high place. Let me say this about all those high places we set up in our heart, all the false gods. There's going to come a day where only Christ is exalted. Where only Christ is exalted. And the great cedars of Lebanon should be cut down to the dust of the earth, Isaiah said. And only God will be exalted in that day. We exalt ourselves. I was sitting there talking about the other day with these boys, talking about all the weights and stuff that I used to lift and all that stuff. I thought, whenever I left, how foolish. Bragging on myself. How foolish. All the gods that we put in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He mentioned that song earlier, when I survey the wondrous cross. He said, and pour contempt on all my pride. Pour contempt on all my pride. All those wonderful things that I thought were so wonderful, they're just a grief. Just a grief to God. Oh, let me tell you something today, my friend. They clean the house of God. What's in the secret places of your heart? What's in the secret places of your heart? We've dealt with pornography quite a bit this week. I believe it was Don Green that did a poll with people in his church. I can't remember what the percentage was, but it was really high. An anonymous poll of how many men looked at something. It's awful. Let me tell you something. I can remember when I was a little boy, the first time I ever saw anything. I can still see it in my mind today. Pornography is destruction to people. Sure is. I can remember I was... some perverse man. I was walking through a flea market, Lexington, North Carolina. And this man, of course, he had his little flea market booth. And on the ground, he had a pornography video. And the lady was unclothed. I can still see it in my mind's eye today. What an awful thing.
Yes.
What a perverse man. I went into an antique store some years ago. And I went inside the booth. He had a bunch of good, me and Brother McVeigh back there, we like to go look at antique stuff. He had a bunch of those old hammers and hatchets and stuff, a bunch of old tools. And I went back there and looked at it. And about eye level with my daughter was a bunch of pornography.
Right.
Bunch of pornography.
Right.
What a grief to God. I was in the store not too long ago. Gabe's in Hickory. It's a like rugged warehouse. I don't know if y'all have anything like that up here. Marshalls or something. But I went in there, and in the checkout line, the shelves were about this high. You know how you go through some of those stores, there's a little line, and you get to a certain point, there's a bunch of checkout counters. They had men's underwear. They claimed to be a Christian company. They had men's underwear. I just saw my daughter begin to turn around, and my eye caught it, and I caught her eyes. Men's with men in their underwear. I called them and I talked to the lady, and thank goodness. Oh, thank the Lord that she didn't respond in any wrong way. I called her and I said, lady, I just went into your store in Hickory and they have men's underwear on the shelves where little girls can see it. And I had to guard my daughter's eyes from it. And she said, you know what? That isn't the way we run our stores. And I said, lady, I know that there's a place in the store for that. If people want to take their kids in there, that's their business. I understand there's a place for it, but I don't think that our children should be subjected to it. I'm talking about cleaning up. And she just so happened to be so nice. She was like, you know what? I'm calling them. I went back to the store to make sure and it was gone. Thank God for it. I remember when I was about 6 years old, we moved back from Florida into North Carolina, and I had an aunt and uncle. I'm not going to name who they are, but they thought that it was real cute to be perverse. They used to just try to insinuate things and teach us little things when I was a little kid. I didn't know what they were saying. Now I understand. I remember sitting in their house one day, and they flipped on television and put pornography. They knew my dad was a Baptist preacher. They were doing it just to destroy us. They were doing it just because my dad preached against it. So they sit there and tried to uncover our eyes and make us look at it. I just cover my face. I tell you, it's a grief to God, my friend. I tell the ladies in our church, I said, some of y'all would get awfully mad if you, you go down to the beaches and you take your clothes off. You go down to the swimming pools and you take your clothes off and you wear your bikinis. I wonder how many of you women would get mad if I walked in your bedroom and caught you in your bra and panties. You'd get pretty mad, wouldn't you? But you do it in public. You do it around little children. You do it around little boys and girls. We've raised a generation of perverts in America. I remember reading a biography about a man over in England, and he talked about being a boy and being introduced into pornography and being messed with. Most people in England have been messed with, from my understanding. Almost every girl in England was molested, about 3/4 of them, and about half the boys. There was a movement in the 60s to legalize pedophilia. They tried to legalize it in their government. Let me say, I believe that they'll try to legalize it in the United States of America.
They're trying now.
One
trying.
Court case away.
Yes, sir. Trying now. It's an awful thing. Take little children and destroy them. I think of the little children in our church. Oh, what a terrible thing if somebody was to mess with them. What a terrible thing to mess with a little child. It's awful. I remember reading that man talk about being introduced to it. He said, as an adult man now, I'm open that I have a problem with lusting after little children. He said, I've caught myself flirting with 5-year-old girls. 5-year-old boys. What an awful thing. Why introduced to pornography? What are you talking about? I'm talking about cleaning up. Getting those things out of the secret places. What's in your secret place today? What is it that nobody knows about but you and God? What is it today? I tell you, these things have been the destruction of people's lives. The destruction of people's lives. You ought to deal with it with God. I talked to a man not too long ago. He said, it's a hard thing to get over some of that stuff once you're hooked on it. It's a hard thing. I believe if you'll be honest with God, He'll help you with it. He'll help you with it. Get in the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways, but by taking heed thereto according to thy word. I say it all the time. I don't have a problem with you necessarily having a television. There's nothing wrong with the screen. There's nothing wrong with the cable. There's something wrong with what you might be watching out of it. But if you have a television and it makes you look at evil things, you ought to get rid of it. If you have a cell phone, nowadays you can type in with all kinds of ungodliness on your phone and pull it up. Right. Touch of a button. If you've got a phone that causes you to look at something evil, you ought to get rid of it. If you've got an internet at your house, you ought to get rid of it. What are you talking about? I'm talking about cleaning up. Cleaning up. Cleaning house. There used to be a time, I remember as a little boy, I hope I'm not wearing anybody out. I'm trying to preach the Bible. I remember being a little boy and going to church meetings where people would get saved and they'd take their burn barrels. They'd take their rock and roll music and they'd throw it in the burn barrel and they'd get rid of. They'd take their AC/DC, they'd take their rock and roll t-shirts, they'd take their cigarettes, and they'd take their beer and all. They'd take everything they got and they'd just chuck it all when they got saved. There's a man in our church, he remembers when he got saved. The preacher preached against, what was it? Beards. There's some lady whose husband, I don't have a problem if you have a beard, but there was some lady, she came out of the church, that preacher preached against having beards. He looked at her and said, I'm going home and shaving mine. That's the day he got saved. He preached against rock and roll music. He preached against beer. He preached against dope. That man went home. He said, when I got home, I just hated my room. I got all my rock and roll posters. I tore them up off the wall. He said, I went and got them. And he was in since he was about 10 years old, he was in this music club where they collected rock and roll music and things. He was addicted to it. He loved it. He went and got all those old records. He got every tape that he had. He got every little thing that was in his room that was ungodly. He got his dope and he went and flushed it down the toilet, all sorts of things. He was done with it the day he got saved. I'm talking about cleaning house, my friend. We're going to see what happens whenever you clean house. We find the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He said, whenever they had the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were to take all the leaven and get it out. If any man ate bread that had any leaven in it, that man was cut off from the congregation of Israel. Cut off. They told him to put away the leaven. Put away the leaven. And then Jesus said, put away the leaven of the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Pretending to be something that you're not. Then he said, get rid of the leaven of malice and wickedness. You know, it's amazing how people want to hurt people. It's amazing how people want to hurt people. It's in people's hearts. Because you've been hurt, you might want to hurt somebody else. Brother Morey talks about it. Because he was hurt, he took pleasure in hurting other people. Took pleasure in it. You know, you don't have to say something to hurt people. You know, you can get mad and say the truth. Yeah. Ain't that something we do in our homes? We get awfully mad and we just start wanting to tear the hearts out of people. Why do you do that? Why do we do that? It's wicked. Yeah. Wanting to tear the hearts. Husbands wanting to tear the hearts out of their wives. They bring up things 30 years ago. 20 years ago. Wanting to their wives, women wanting to tear the hearts out of their husbands. It's ungodly. Put away malice and wickedness. Wickedness. He said, then the leaven of false doctrine. We ought to get our doctrine right. And they restored the house of God. They cleaned the house of God. And they did according to what Moses had commanded in the scriptures. They got back on track with God. They started living according to the word of God. They started obeying the word of God. Obeying the word of God. It'd be something if some of you young people would just go ahead and sell out to God and obey his word. You know what happened? Then he commanded the priests to offer bullocks and sin offerings and burnt offerings and thank offerings to the Lord. He wanted to get things right with God. If there was any sin in Israel, he wanted it to be dealt with. He wanted to make sure, he went to the furthest extent to make sure that all the sin was dealt with in Israel. Get it right with God. Get it right with God. There's nothing hidden that shall not be uncovered. Nothing hidden. I remember his old pastor, Herbert Williamson, came by our church. And he looked at people and he said, God will prove you. God will prove you before you die. God will prove you before you die. And we went to that funeral of that man. And there was some man, and he claimed to be a preacher at one point. Ruined his family's lives. And there was people coming to that trying to make their bets, their gambles right. God proved what that man was. God proved what that man was before he died. God will prove what you are before you die. Deal with a sin. You know what happened? When they offered the thank offerings, they got things right with God. the sin offerings and all those things. Then the priest began to rejoice. The priest began to rejoice. Israel began to rejoice. I was talking about the glory of God being in our churches in the first service. You want the glory of God in the church. Get the sin out. Get the sin out. That, ladies and gentlemen, God's hand's not short that he cannot save. His ear's not heavy that he cannot hear. But our sins have separated us between him. Hidden his face from us. God can hear. God can save. God's grieved by your sin. He's grieved by your sin.
Get it right. And that, the Bible said they sung praises. And you know what? They began to sing the Psalms of David. I just want to read one to you. I imagine they sung it because they were singing the Psalms. And let's see, Psalms 136. They got right with the Lord. They found out that His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks. 136 Psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and the host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. And gave their land an inheritance, for His mercy endureth forever. Even inheritance unto Israel, His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembereth us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. For who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. What do you think His mercy endures to? Forever? Oh, I believe they got together and they begin to sing about the mercy of the Lord. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. That's what they sung. Oh, they begin to sing, oh, therefore shall not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. He is in the midst of her, that she should not be moved. He shall help her in that right early. The heathen raised, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh the wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I shall be exalted among the heathen. I shall be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What are you talking about? When they got things right with God, they could sing. They could rejoice. They could brag on Him.
Amen. Go ahead. I'm going to say something. You come on up and pick a song. Paul Scott, good to see you, sir. Get our Syracuse contingent. All right. Brother Zach, been here all 10 years of Youth Week. How old were you? 18 when you came the first time? 18. Plus 10, 28? Okay, there we go. Yep, 28 now. But I'll never forget about the second or third year that he was here. Brother Zach came and just told me. He said, look, he said, I was North Carolina's wrestling champion. He that I had scholarships offered to me from West Point, Appalachian State. He said, but God's called me to preach. He said, now all the Bible colleges are telling me I want you to come. He said, God showed me you're to train me to preach. And I said, no. I said, no, I'm not. I said, I'll give you a curriculum, but isn't your daddy a preacher? He said, yeah. I said, you go back and serve with your dad and learn how to be a pastor. I'll give you a curriculum. I remember him calling me about 4 months later. This is hard. Well, you're the big wrestling boy. Wasn't that hard? Yeah. And he's done fine. I'm bragging on him. I doubt there's 5 men in America who can sit down with him and go over the book of Romans like he can. We may not agree with everything he has to say, but I doubt there's 5 men in America who can sit down with him verse by verse and sit there and give a reason for why they believe what's in that book. Okay? You may disagree with his reasons, but he'll give you a reason for everything he shows you. Okay? God's been good to him. Now listen. You hear something like that, and I know that some of your houses, they're a mess. I know that. Okay? I'm not a fool. If I purged everybody in this church that had a sin life, I could probably stand in the middle with an AR-15, put it on fully automatic, and turn around and not hurt anybody. Okay? What we're looking for is people in this church that desire to be clean. Desire. They want that. And I know that world will hurt you out there. I know that world's calling you and it'll hurt you so bad and drag you. Got some people here, preacher's kids. We got to hear a preacher's kid. Father has 3 sons. 2 of them care nothing for the ministry. Zach got saved at an early age. Okay, cares much for it. His father is the only man who I legitimately know that a church hired an assassin to kill him. I know that. He was down in Mississippi and he won little black boys to the Lord, started bringing them to church, and the church that did not want to integrate. And they hired an assassin, and that assassin came to his house and said, I got saved in your services this morning. Okay? And eventually his father left there. The world kicked him around and didn't want him or anything else. He finally went to a lonely highway in North Carolina, got a church there. My son drives 1.5 hours to go to church there. Okay? Has 1.5 hours to go to church there and listen to David Vernon. We heard David Vernon preach here this week. And I don't know if you noticed, but that service was pretty dead before he got into it. And then he preached. And I know for a fact there's people up to 2-3 o'clock in the morning wandering up in the woods praying to God after that service. Okay? I stood in that office and had one weep with me in the morning. Weep with me over the conviction in his heart. Okay? Yea, I have a godly heritage, David said. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Some of you have a godly heritage. What a gracious thing. And then some of you have drug in here. There's never righteousness in your house before. Well, you can start a godly heritage. You can raise your kids different than you were raised. And you know what? If all you're one of these people who are just against everything, you'll fail. You have to be for things. Our home is a place, people enjoy coming to our home. Okay? There's something to do. Always something going on. Always something there. But you know what? We had to purge out the things that hurt people. But you come over to our home and there's games and things going on. Usually godly music playing in the background. And some boy pulling some girl's hair. Something going on somewhere all the time or whatever else. And you know what? It's just a joy to live that life. It's a happy thing. And then every once in a while, this fool by the name of John Asquith, the one you're looking at, let some little leaven slip back into his life. Some little leaven. Next thing you know, a few weeks later, this kind of depression's taking over me again. The joy is kind of slipping away. I'm thinking, what's going on? And that's why it's so good we have Pastor Hain here preaching on Wednesday nights. It's real good. It's real good for a preacher to have somebody else you can hear him preach. That just maybe the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Why? Lest God peradventure should give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. And I'll see something, I'll say, glory to God, there it is. That's where I've been going wrong. I'll get that thing right again. People ask me, how come you go to Wednesday night services? Well, you know, I'll leave here someday and I'll be pretty full of God. And I'll get up Monday and I'll go out there in the world, and by Monday night it's tarnished a little bit. By Tuesday it's in pretty bad shape. And by Wednesday I come crawling in here to hear the word of God. Get back that joy in my heart. Get back that moving of the Spirit of God. Get back those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs making sweet melody in my heart unto the Lord. Now folks, hope you enjoyed that preaching. Take it to heart. You say, well, there's some things he preached again. I believe it. Okay. Did we ever make it a rule in this church that you ever, here's what you have to do to be here? No, we never did any such thing. I told people, if you don't want to tithe, don't tithe. People say, what are your dress standards? I say, you got to have at least your skivvies on. All right. If you don't have those on, we'll probably do something about it. All right. That's all there is to it. We put out that stuff there because I myself have found that I've been happier the more I've conformed to the things of God. Just been happier. If you can find that joy in your life, I want it. But let me tell you, you can get rid of all that stuff. If you don't have Jesus Christ as number one, you haven't done anything. Now, my wife and I, we've become dear to the Muslim community in Olean. We just have. This COVID thing stopped us. We were going to their fellowship. Okay? My son and I went to a drop-in dinner there with the Muslims, and we were welcomed and honored guests. You know what they wanted to talk about during the dinner? Why do you call Jesus the Son of God? With doctors and engineers and all these men standing around, we stood there and preached to that table why Jesus is the Son of God, and they revered us for that. They said, boy, that's something, okay? We like it. And you want to know something? Those good Muslims, the good ones, they live a pretty good life. We met a woman there. They told her a few weeks into her pregnancy, that's a monster you're carrying. Abort it. You know what she said? She said, if God wants to take my baby, he can take it. But it's going to learn love. And she bore that baby. All those weeks of pregnancy, knowing it was a monster. And it came out a monster. And you know what she told me? For 30 days, it knew love. For 30 days, that baby had love. That's a Muslim woman. Okay? Met her two daughters. I mean, honorable women. Honorable. I mean, honorable. Top of their class. Okay? Honorable. Now, let me tell you something. Without Jesus Christ, none of that means anything. That's my longing for those people. And that's why I work so hard to keep my standing with those people. Because when we go there, we don't compromise. They're used to the liberals going there. Oh, why are we just all brothers and sisters? No. I don't say any such thing. They told me afterwards, they said, we just marveled that your son sat there and wanted to talk about the things of God. We marveled at that. We marveled at it. Okay? There's a good life in Jesus Christ. There's a good life. And you're going to be the one to mess it up. It won't be your neighbor, it'll be you. And that's why I tell so many of you, you make that sign. You write a sign that says you are now looking at the person who is most liable to mess up God's perfect will for your life. And you put that on your bathroom mirror. Because that's the person who will probably mess it up. That's the person who will probably make you miserable. That's the person who will make the bad decisions. Okay? That's the person who will do it. Neil, come on and sing. Now listen, we don't ever have 6 o'clock services here, but we're wrapping up Youth Week. Tonight there'll be a 6 o'clock service. Zach, Brother McVeigh will be doing the preaching on that, okay? And then tomorrow night, I know most of you can't come, there'll be a 7 o'clock at night, and then it's a hard stop on Youth Week. Hard stop. We've never gone on 3 extra days. Lord, have us do that. Come ahead, sir.
I'm going to ask if we can do something different at the end. I want to, excuse me, I want to read, sing 416 again. Here, Christ arose. When we get done with that, I want to sing 390, as you're all on the altar. If you believe Christ rose and he rose for you, that's going to be the question song to you. You and your heart alone, as you're all on the altar for Christ. So 416 first. So now it's our part. Page 390, as you're all on the altar.
I like it. That's a good way. Good way to wrap that up.
390.
But you cannot have rest.
time.
Lord, as we look at what you have in store for us yet tonight,